Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised.
Today, we're going to talk about a little bit of a morbid hair fact. So a lot of people say that like it looks like their loved one's hair and nails have grown after they pass away, but that's not actually true. So your body dehydrates a lot after you pass, especially through like the embalming process.
Right.
And so what happens is your skin actually shrinks away a little bit.
Those tissues like start to kind of dry up.
And so that actually makes it look like your hair and your nails are longer, but they're not longer. Your skin just got less plump.
So as spooky as it sounds, your hair and your nails do not grow after death.
If you just dehydrate,
you're just dead.
Today, I'm going to blow probably your minds and Ashley's mind, because she's not really heard of this yet, with the Rotherwood Mansion in Kingsport, Tennessee. Now, up to like a couple days ago, I had no clue this place even existed, and I went ham on it. I'm like ready to make a trip up there. This is wild, okay?
Thanks, TikTok, for introducing Miranda to this spooky.
That is the side of TikTok that I am on, and it is great. I suggest y'all get there.
I love it. I'll open TikTok and have like 13 notifications.
Because it's just all like spooky stuff that
I've seen. It's good stuff, and obviously this is what we're looking for, and we didn't know about this until we saw it on TikTok. So thanks to the Southern Creepy creators on TikTok, and if anybody has any favorite ones, send them to us.
Yes, please, absolutely. Find us on TikTok. Send away. But today we're going to talk about Rotherwood Mansion, which is in, as I said, Kingsport, Tennessee. So what happened was Frederick Ross and his family inherited like a big tract of land on the Holston River. And there's like two different forks there. And he has like acres and acres and acres. This is a huge piece of land. And so he builds this beautiful mansion on it. This is a three-story house. It has a garden and a rooftop pool. Now, we're talking 1818 this house was built, and as many other wealthy landowners in the South, they did own slaves. And while that does not excuse owning slaves, they were, as all, you know, reports go, that was the place you wanted to be. And they were very good to their slaves. In fact, freed a lot of slaves. I read that there are like actual underground railroad tunnels under this house.
So that's a big part of the story, and we will be respectful about that. But yeah, just kind of to let people know, that's part of the story.
So at one point, Ross has a daughter named Rowena. And Rowena is absolutely stunning. She's beautiful. She's fair-complected, dark raven hair. She's beautiful. And there's a lot of guys who are coming after Rowena, but there's one who catches her eye in particular. And this guy proposes marriage. And so they're going to get married. And Dad is so happy. He builds them an identical mansion across the river. But instead of the red brick, it's going to be white. Well, it burned to the ground.
Oh no.
So that was already a bad sign. So roll around to wedding day. Forget the burned down mansion. This is going to be great, right? So all of the families are there. They're gathered on the bank of the river to watch these two get married. Rowena's in a room on the third floor that overlooks the river, getting ready, putting on her wedding dress. And this big dum-dum decides he's going to go out in the Holston River, which is notorious for having wild currents and crazy eddies. And he's going to go out there and he's going to go fishing to blow off some steam before they get married.
He was like, this water looks safe.
This looks super safe. It is not. So he gets out there. They're paddling out. They've got their fishing poles out. And all of a sudden, the boat capsizes. Boom. Four men into the water. Three men make it back to shore. The three groomsmen make it back. But the groom is lost in the river.
Because, I mean, this is like an 1800s boat, too. Mm-hmm.
So Dum Dum capsizes, and they actually never find his body.
Oh.
Never find his body. Now, some people report that, like, Rowena watched this happen from her room on the third floor, you know. And then some say that, like, she learned about it right after it happened. But at any rate, she's devastated. 2 years later, she starts to date again. Gonna get married to this nice guy from Knoxville.
Edward Temple.
He dies of yellow fever.
Oh, I had high hopes for her this time.
Well, third time's the charm.
Right.
Does get married. They stay married for 6 years. She moves away from Kingsport. She has a daughter. But she comes back to Kingsport for a little vacation, visit her parents and such. And while she's at the house, she swears she can hear her first love calling to her from the river.
Oh, no. And they never found his body. So he may have been.
And at one point, it's reported that she sees an icy white hand reach up from the river and beckon her in. And so she goes upstairs and she puts on her first wedding dress. And she walks slowly into the river until she's disappeared. And she drowns in the river.
Oh, no.
But so that is another death at Rotherwood
that happened.
And after this, Mr. Roth goes into a very deep depression, gets into some financial troubles, and decides that he needs to let the plantation go. And he knows that the only person who can afford this is another man in town by the name of Phipps. Now, Phipps is an overseer, and he is known to have a very cruel hand with the slaves. Ross decides that he is going to free as many of the slaves as he possibly can before Phipps takes over.
Okay.
Now, some of these slaves go on to settle in different parts of Tennessee, including like Zion Hill and those likes. And some of those ancestors take the last name of Ross. So they adopted his name. And some of those people would later become the ancestors of Diana Roth.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yes. And I had no idea about that connection until I started researching this case. That was wild. But yeah, so Diana Ross is connected to
Rotherwood
slaves that were freed because their master was scared of the man that was going to take over. Turns out Ross was right because Phipps turned into a very cruel man. Nobody in town liked him. Not even the white people.
I can't lie. He sounds like a real jerk.
He sounds like a dick. He installed a whipping post on the third story.
Oh, so he doesn't just sound like a real asshole.
In what one. Sounded like probably was Rowena's old room, because he wanted to hear the screams of the slaves that were being beat.
That's
all
gross.
Through the house.
That is gross.
Well, this man gets his, let me tell you. But this man was a son of a bitch. This quickly became a plantation you did not want to go to. It gets a little graphic past even the beating of slaves. He had apparently a mixed woman that he took as a mistress, and his wife did not question it. Like, that's how scared she was of him.
Ooh.
Did not question it at all. This woman was apparently just as bad, if not worse, than Phipps when it came to the torture and the punishment of other slaves. She too, took pleasure in the screams of people. And they built a slave cell in the bottom of the house. They dug out a cellar that only had one entrance and exit. And it had bars over the doors. And it was dirt floor, dirt walls, under the house. And that's where the field slaves were grouped together and stored at night.
I know I'm not going to say this right, but this is giving very Madame Lalaurie vibes.
Very much so. And I mean, this place was like freezing in the winter, sweltering in the summer.
Right.
And it's there was no outhouse there. There was no nothing. So it just was terrible. Whereas before these slaves had full bunk houses with kitchens and beds. And
right.
They were treated at least like
humanely.
People.
Right.
That was no longer. One day, Mr. Phipps comes up with a fever. And nobody can figure out what it is. He's just, knocked out. Old-timey fever, right? I personally think you got hicks, sir.
I was thinking in my head, it's from your meanness. That's what it is. It's from your meanness. That's, if you carry that on the inside, that...
it's gonna bubble out,
right?
He is quarantined away from the rest of the house, so he won't get anybody else sick. And there's a slave boy that is assigned to fan him because it's hot and he's hot. So he's going to sit here and fan Mr. Phipps as he's laying in the bed just, sweating, nasty.
They didn't have central heating air back then.
Yeah. And so he's knocked out, fever coma, basically. And this boy is fanning him sitting here. And all of a sudden, Phipps sits up with a horrified look on his face. And it's staring over this boy's shoulder. And the boy is like, what? And so he slowly turns around to see what Phipps is staring at. And there's a massive cloud of black flies.
Ew.
And it just keeps growing in number. And then all of a sudden, it swarms on Phipps's face. And they start burrowing into his ears and his nose and his mouth and his eyes. And this man chokes to death on these flies.
It sounds like he deserved that, though.
He pretty much did deserve that. Well, and so the boy runs out, sprints out to go get the doctor, gets the doctor. They come back in the room and Phipps is dead and there's not a fly to be seen.
What? Ooh, that was some evilness.
And so everybody's like, all right, he's dead. We got to bury this son of a bitch, right?
Right.
And like, no lie, everybody in the town is low-key celebrating about
right,
it.
Right.
Because nobody likes the sadistic son of a bitch.
Right.
And so they go and they hook him up in the casket. They're going to take his ass to the grave plot, right?
Because you've got to think back then, too. Just because they didn't like him, there were like certain standards that they had to do like for the funeral.
Right. Because he was a wealthy man.
Right.
And not because anybody liked him.
Right.
But because he was a wealthy
man. But that was just the time. Like, they were like, well, damn, this guy was an asshole, but we got to do this.
Right. So they hook him up in the hearse and they hook up two horses and they're going to take him up to his grave plot. Right. They hook up a horse.
Yeah.
Horse. And then the hearse is behind it. Right. We've all seen like that,
right, like the old person
carved up, and they put the casket in and take. Well, they start to go and these horses are having a really hard time pulling this casket. Now, Phipps was not like a huge man or anything, but two horses should be able to pull this. No fucking problem.
Right.
Well, they hook up two more horses and they finally get it rolling, but they're still struggling. Right. And everybody's like, what the hell? And so at this time, clouds start coming over and it starts looking like it's going to rain. And as they're making their way up the hill by the river, all of a sudden the river swells and it's full of mud and it is raging. And while everybody's looking over here at the river and they're kind of all like, what is going on? Behind them, the casket starts to vibrate and shake on the hearse. So about the time everybody turns around, this big black dog busts out of this casket, lands on the ground, snarls at everybody, and runs off to the woods. At this point, everybody's like, oh, hell no. Get him in the ground.
The devil done came out of this moon.
Right. Hellhounds are around.
Right.
So they take him up, they get him in the ground, and they start throwing dirt on him. And all of a sudden, it starts to thunder. And in that thunder, they swear they hear Phibbs's laughter. So everybody gets him in the ground. We disperse, right?
Yes.
Get the hell out of there, say their last rites, and run, right? So back at the plantation, Phibbs's wife is still living there. There's still slaves there. Everybody's still going about their days. And a lot of the slaves are reporting to their overseers that Phibbs is keeping them up at night. He's torturing them. He won't let them sleep. And he's sending his big black dog in the middle of the night. And so the overseers get tired of hearing this. They're like, he is dead.
Right.
Right? He's in the ground. I'll show you. So they gather up all the slaves and march them up the hill to the graveyard. They dig up Phibbs, sling open the casket door, and there's nothing in that coffin.
So
they're just as confused as everybody else at this point. They put it back in the ground.
It's not just that. They're like, if this coffin, why was this coffin so heavy if it's empty, too?
Was Phibbs the big black dog that jumped out of the coffin?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that evil didn't die.
After this, there are some reports of both Rowena on the grounds and Phibbs and the dog on the ground. One of them comes from a worker who was doing some remodeling on the house. And him and a partner were working down in the basement, which would have been the slave cell.
Right.
And they're working, and all of a sudden, this one guy, they're facing each other, and the guy looks over the other guy's shoulder and is horrified, like goes ghost white. And then jumps back and then hightails it up the steps out of the house into the van and takes off down the road.
I would be like, you're not going to leave me in this haunted ass house. No.
Well, it takes him about 30 minutes to even call and tell the guy who's still there working what happened. And he tells that guy that out of nowhere, a man in a black suit with a huge black dog with glowing red eyes came out of the wall. And then the dog lunged at his throat. And that's when he jumped back and took off up the stairs and out of the house. And this dog was on his heels the whole time, nipping.
See, now, ghosts are weird, but I'm scared of animal ghosts.
Well, he gets in the van and hightails it, and this dog chases him down the driveway until he crosses into the road, and then it disappears.
So was he the dog, or was the dog, like, a familiar to him, but not a good one?
I don't know if that dog was, like, the evil spirit that was attached to him.
Right.
Or what, but yeah. So that is the Rotherwood Mansion in Kingsport, Tennessee.
It's a private residence. I just looked it up to see if
it's... Yeah, yeah. A doctor owns it now, I think.
Well, I wonder how he's doing.
I think it's a lady.
Oh, I wonder how she's doing.
I don't know.
Well, that's terrible.
I don't think that, like, she really only talks about, like, the history of the play.
Right.
And not really about, like, the ghost part of it, you know?
Oof. That sounds like it's got some bad juju attached to there.
Yeah. So that one's real spooky.
And this is the reason that you don't turn plantations into wedding venues.
Amen, sister. Like, it might be beautiful, but that is some bloody ground.
Right. I think everybody here in this area has heard of the Chattanooga Choo Choo. Probably, honestly, been on a field trip there.
I used to go eat, like, my grandma used to take us to go eat at the restaurant at the Choo Choo. Do you ever do that?
No, but I wish I did. I bet that was really pretty.
You always thought it was cool because they had the ketchup in glass bottle.
Oh my God. I've been in there for, like, going to the Comedy Catch and stuff like that. I always get a weird feeling in the women's bathroom. I get so weirded out in there, which we're about to tell some ghost stories about the choo-choo, so that makes sense. The choo-choo has been around for a long time. The first train that actually came in there was December 1st of 1849. The name choo-choo actually came from Cincinnati Southern had a passenger train that connected Cincinnati and Chattanooga. And so they ended up just calling it the Chattanooga Choo-Choo. And the Chattanooga Choo-Choo has been a hotel for years. It was the railway for years and years, but it wasn't really popular. Nobody ever really heard of it until a song came out in the 1940s that was actually called Chattanooga Choo-Choo.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's a song about it.
That was right before World War II started. So through World War II in Europe, you know, people were singing the Chattanooga Choo-Choo song. So it really, you know, put it on the map, made it a bustling, bustling little center until the 70s, whenever choo-choos just didn't matter anymore and other stuff.
You're saying choo-choos are irrelevant.
Choo-choos are not irrelevant, but buses, planes, stuff like that started to get more popular.
Say Thomas says something.
And now it's got like 5 restaurants, retail shops, it's got antique trolley rides, it's got all kinds of stuff there now. What it also has is 2 very specific ghosts that people have talked about.
Ooh, where are they from?
So one of them, there are some old pictures hanging in the lobby that are black and white.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is an African-American porter, and he's kind of standing by himself, and nobody knows who he is now, but they think that it was taken probably around the 60s.
Okay.
He is still seen to this day performing the same task that he would for his job. If he's in the hotel near the lobby area, then his unseen hands can be seen moving luggage around. If he's seen outside, then he's normally like a signalman holding the little lantern and kind of directing trains on where they need to be going.
Oh, wow.
So even in his afterlife, he is
doing his job. The Rose Garden where the fountain is haunted.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. The other one isn't in that one, though. The other one's in the lobby, too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There was probably a lot more of these. And if anybody knows Chattanooga Choo Choo creepy stories, please let us know. Because that place has to be haunted. But these are really the only 2
it's
big
so
ones I could
beautiful.
Find. It is. Oh, God, I'm obsessed with it.
It's so pretty.
And I bet it really used to be pretty, like the restaurant with like the atrium kind of style to it.
Yes.
But the other ghost that people see is a woman. She's seen in the balcony under the dome. And there's 2 different ways that they see her. Either she's cradling her baby and kind of looking frantic, looking around, and doesn't really seem like she realizes that other people are around, that living are around. And she's kind of, you know, running around frantic. Or she's frantically looking for her child in the crowd. Not paying her attention to anybody, just frantically looking for her child.
Hmm. I feel like that's probably just an energy imprint.
Probably, especially if that was like
probably like one of the most traumatic things of her life.
Right.
And she just stayed there.
And then there is another one that involves a little girl, a puppy, and a man.
The I don't other, like where this is going already.
The puppy and the girl are fine. There was a mom and there was a little girl and she was carrying a puppy and the puppy got loose. So the little girl goes running after the puppy. The mom goes running after her. It's just crazy. And this man that works at the choo-choo looks up, sees all this commotion going on. And when he looks up, he sees the little girl and the puppy standing in the middle of the tracks. So he goes and he runs down there and he pushes the little puppy and the little girl out of the way as the tracks come or as the train comes. And it kills him. So,
trains were dangerous back in the day.
Very. He died. The puppy and the little girl lived. But this scene can still be seen playing out, but in ghost form.
Yeah. See, again, energy. Like trauma.
Right. It was a big trauma probably for that little girl and the puppy and the man. And even though the little girl and the puppy lived, their imprints could still be there.
Oof. Yeah.
So that is the story of some of the stories of the Chattanooga Choo Choo hauntings.
See, now I want to go at night.
I know.
I've never been there at night.
I've like really only been there at night because it's been when I've went to like the Comedy Catch. Or if you want to go down there, Nick and Norman's actually has really good food. last year on New Year's, we went down there and there's a picture of me sitting on the train and Yuri's standing in front of me, and I get up on the train, and after we take the picture, I realize my foot is literally resting on a sign that says do not sit on the train.
Oops. Didn't there used to be a music venue over there?
Track 29.
Yeah.
It was nice. I hated it because it was only stand up. Like, you, there was nowhere to sit down. You know, your girl likes to sit down.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much the way. What is it? The Signal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is.
So anyway, there's some spooky stories from Tennessee. If you know any that you want to share, you want us to cover that not a lot of other people may know, send them to us.
Or some of your own personal spooky stories. Send them our way. We'd love to read them on air. We will read them. Send us a PDF and we will read it word for word, my loves.
We will. And we can leave your name out of it if you don't want other people to know.
Yeah, just let us know at the top. Says anonymous.
Thanks, guys.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.